Bringer of Death by N.P. Barry Hill and David Starling M. Read by Sam Gabriel. Based on the works of Akira Toriyama. Cooler Saga, Part 1. Lord Vegeta. Vegeta flew off into the horizon, blasting Goku in the face with debris kicked up by his not-so-subtle exit. Goku watched in silence until the prince's golden aura had completely vanished from sight. He let out a deep sigh, relaxing his shoulders and catching himself before he collapsed. Goku could scarcely hold his eyes open. The gentle air of Namek brushed against his wounded face, reminding him of the stinging cuts and bruises Vegeta had inflicted.
"Well, I can't believe I'm still alive," Goku said to himself. "I guess we're starting to rub off on him after all."
Finally able to relax, Goku laid his back onto the ground and stared up at the sky in a much-deserved rest. He could just barely sense the energy of Gohan and the others leaving the planet's atmosphere as he dozed off. His last thought was simply peaceful relief. As the prince zipped across the sky of Namek in a bright golden stream, he looked down at his hand, clutched in a fist around something. He hadn't quite contemplated why, but before taking off, he had retrieved Frieza's severed head. The bloodied trophy had miraculously survived the blast produced in the battle between the Saiyans. While it would serve as quite the unique mantelpiece, Vegeta knew he might need it as proof of his victory. Frieza's troops might not be enthusiastic about swearing their loyalty to a Saiyan, but they wouldn't dare oppose his claim with the Frost Lord's demise so visibly displayed. Strangely enough, he didn't feel conflicted about letting Kakarot live. His heart still burned with rage at what the Saiyan from Earth had done, yet he had justified his small act of mercy. He would deal with Kakarot in a year's time, after all. He didn't want his revenge to be cheapened by anything. His victory deserved to be decisive, not near accidental. At least that's what he told himself. But an inward kernel of Saiyan pride had actually sprouted in the prince, intrigued and impressed by Kakarot's power. Even without the transformation into a Super Saiyan, he had put up a decent fight. The challenge was invigorating, and Vegeta had marked Kakarot as a worthy opponent, though for now he wouldn't admit that to himself. The events of the day were so fresh in his mind that he wasn't entirely sure what his first course of action would be. There were certain obvious threats to take care of, he knew, but he hadn't actually thought this far ahead. For one, Frieza's older brother was definitely going to be an immediate concern. He'd get what was coming to him. The two shared a brief history. Cooler had berated his brother for even keeping Vegeta alive in the first place, claiming Frieza was too soft. In the end, Cooler's taunts had proved true. Vegeta fulfilled the legend and became a Super Saiyan. As Vegeta's mind paced through his next few days, massive waves shot up on either side of him as he parted the Namekian Ocean with his golden aura.
"Yes. The legendary tales of Vegeta, the Super Saiyan, will soon be whispered fearfully across the entire universe," Vegeta laughed. "First, I'll deal with that pompous Cooler. He won't have a clue what he's up against. Besides, I can't have him trying to encroach on my new empire, which is precisely what he'll try. Fool."
It was as if the prince was already taunting his next foe.
"You've no idea that you'll be up against a Super Saiyan."
Vegeta spotted his space pod right where he had left it. He briefly chuckled, glancing around in search of the pile of ashes belonging to Kui.
"Oh, Kui, if only you were here to lick my boots the way you did with Frieza. Good riddance, worm."
The prince took one last glance at the landscape of Namek, briefly reflecting, before he entered his ship.
"I never could have dreamed how things would turn out on Namek, but I have to admit, in spite of literally dying, I think everything turned out better than expected."
Even his death at the hands of Frieza had been a blessing in disguise. He had been revived even stronger than before. Best of all, he had gotten his revenge on Frieza. But he had also learned an important lesson. Vegeta would never again assume victory until he confirmed the death of his enemy. His arrogance was a valuable ally in battle, but he had seen firsthand that getting carried away could cost him dearly. The coordinates for Frieza Planet 7-9, the base he had stopped at before coming to Namek, were already programmed in.
"Seems like a good enough place to start,"
Vegeta blasted off in his spherical space pod, lamenting how cramped it was.
"I'll have to make sure I upgrade my ship to something a little more befitting when I arrive."
Goku awoke the next morning feeling much better. Saiyan physiology was astounding, and all he really needed now was some food, a lot of food. Unfortunately, the Namekians only drank water, so he was on his own.
"Time to go fishing," Goku exclaimed. "Although Chi-Chi usually does all the cooking. I'll have to improvise. Maybe try cooking it with a light energy blast and hope for the best. Kameha medium rare."
He grinned at his characteristic goofy smile even though no one was around. After a quick swim in which a very unlucky fish found itself being chased by a very crazy man, Goku finally sated his appetite. When he was satisfied, having picked the charred skeleton of the fish clean, Goku left to seek out the Namekians. "I've been wondering what they used that last wish for. The way mine and Vegeta's attack struck the surface makes me think it was some kind of planetary protection barrier. If so, that's genius. I wonder who thought it up." He sensed out the energy of some of the nearest Namekians. "I'm sure they'll know something," he said as he took off towards the closest village. Goku landed in the center of the village, instantly attracting the attention of about 10 Namekians. They immediately recognized that he was far different from the warriors who had come before and slaughtered them all. He looked friendly, and they sensed that his energy was pure.
"Hello. My name is Goku, and I was just wondering if anyone here knew where I could find a boy named Dende."
One of the larger, more elderly Namekians greeted him.
"Welcome to our village, Goku. I am Elder Mori."
Goku continued to draw a crowd.
"Did he just say Dende?"
a small voice inquired from behind Mori's leg.
"I've been looking for him everywhere, but I can't find him."
The child who spoke was Cargo, a young boy who had been unable to escape Dodoria's energy blast.
"Is Dende all right?"
Goku smiled, nodding.
"Don't worry, he's fine. In fact, Dende is kind of a hero. He helped save all of us from Frieza."
"Really?"
the boy exclaimed.
"Yep,"
Goku replied.
"His healing power is really something. Just about every one of my friends would have been toast without it. Even me."
The Namekians began to talk among themselves, murmuring about whether or not Frieza was truly gone. Elder Mori silenced them all by raising his hand.
"It is true that I cannot sense the dark power belonging to Frieza anymore. Are you certain he has been defeated?"
"Yes, sir," Goku nodded. "I saw it myself."
"But how is it that we have all been restored to life at one time?" the elder asked.
"Well, that's complicated," Goku said. "See, we have our own Dragon Balls on Earth, too. Dende helped my son to use Namek's Dragon Balls to restore the life of our Namekian, Piccolo. When that happened, the Guardian of Earth returned to life and we used our Dragon Balls to resurrect you and everyone else Frieza or his men killed."
Goku didn't really feel like staying and explaining every detail to them, but they did deserve to know what had happened. Luckily, he had satisfied their interest for the moment. Elder Mori spoke again.
"Goku, I thank you for providing us with this information and for all your help against Frieza. However, those of my village and I have not seen Dende. We were just about to travel to visit our Grand Elder to seek his wisdom on the events that have happened. Perhaps he has the answers you seek?"
"Of course," Goku exclaimed. "He probably went straight back to Gurus."
Goku blasted off, shooting a dust cloud through the gathering of Namekians.
"Thanks for the help, Mori," he said over his shoulder.
Guru, the Grand Elder of Namek, had been restored to life along with the rest of his race. The moment he was back, he had been contacted by King Kai concerning the final wish to Purunga. Guru's life was vital to them being able to make a wish to the Namekian dragon, and King Kai had to know how much time they had to work with. Despite having been recently revived, the elder knew that he didn't have very long left to live. Fortunately, Dende had arrived a few hours afterwards to care for him. Still, it was important that he see the rest of the Namekians before he passed in order to select a new leader for his people. To accomplish this task, he had given Dende the duty of assembling all the Namekians in one place. He sensed that several villages were already on their way, but now he also sensed another power approaching.
"Ah, the great hero Goku approaches at last," Guru thought. "My people owe him a great debt. Such honorable deeds should not go unrewarded."
As Goku approached the tall plateau on which Guru lived, he sensed a telepathic connection forming. A deeply kind voice spoke to his mind.
Welcome to my home, Goku. I believe I may have some of the answers you seek.
The Saiyan landed outside the round white building and entered through a small hatch on the side.
Hello, can I come in?
He asked. An enormous shadowy figure was seated before him.
Welcome, said Guru,
who proceeded to cough a few times. Goku gaped at the size of him. He had to be 20 feet tall and as heavy as a small dinosaur. The Ox King, Goku's father-in-law, would look tiny next to this Namekian. Guru didn't speak again.
I don't have much strength remaining, so please allow me to communicate with you telepathically, spoke the elder.
Sure, Goku replied. You seem to know a lot. Do you know why I'm here?
I believe I do. Allow me to assure you, now more than ever, that planet Namek is safe. Your friend, the Namekian from Earth, suggested a brilliant wish. Our planet is now shielded by Purunga's own power and cannot be destroyed by battle damage. As I sensed your battle earlier, I became humbly grateful for this decision, for without it my people would once again have lost their lives.
Clever, Goku thought. Leave it to Piccolo to come up with the really great strategies.
Guru smiled.
You are also curious as to the location of Dende. Do not worry. I can pass along any message you might have for him.
Oh, I see, Goku replied. Well, I really just wanted to ask him when the Dragon Balls will be ready to grant 3 more wishes. We actually came here to revive some more of our friends, one in particular who can't be brought back to life by our dragon on Earth.
King Kai spoke of this one already, the Grand Elder replied. Be assured, Goku. I will leave instructions with Namek's new guardian to wish the one named Chao Tzu back to life and returns to Earth when Purunga is summoned again. I'm sure he is grateful for your thought, Goku. Everything will soon be set right.
Not quite everything, Goku thought to himself. He still had to find a way to stop Vegeta from destroying the Earth in a year.
Forgive me for intruding on your private thoughts, Goku, but perhaps I can offer my assistance.
The voice of Guru inside his head was a little surprising. He had forgotten that they were communicating telepathically, and Guru heard his every thought. It startled him for a moment, but he responded quickly.
What do you mean?
Come closer, so I may attempt to release your hidden potential, as I did for your son Gohan and friend Krillin.
The massive Namekian smiled gently.
This will only take a moment.
Goku stepped closer, but he looked slightly puzzled.
When I was a boy, I remember drinking the Ultra Divine Water. Master Korin on Earth said that it would unlock my potential. Is it like that?
Guru chuckled to himself.
I do not know of whom you speak, but I suspect that my magical skills are different than what you experienced in the past, Goku. In any case, your potential has grown beyond what it was then. You are already one of the most powerful beings in the universe. My understanding is that your potential at any point in your life may vary depending on certain factors, including especially the strength that you yourself aspire to. I cannot increase your power beyond what you believe yourself to be capable of.
Well, I always want to get stronger, exclaimed Goku.
He stepped forward until he was only a few feet from Guru.
Show me my hidden power.
Guru placed one large hand on Goku's head, his enormous jowls tightening in concentration. After several moments had passed, he spoke into Goku's mind again.
I sense great reserves within you, Goku. Its magnitude is truly remarkable.
Are you talking about becoming a Super Saiyan? Asked Goku.
Guru shook his head.
Whether you will follow in the pathways of the Super Saiyan, I cannot see. That is not the power I am sensing. You have the potential to one day challenge enemies like Frieza without needing any special techniques to increase your strength.
Goku was amazed at what Guru said, but also worried.
You said one day, so it's not like you can get me there right this second?
Perhaps not, brave Earthling. This gift is but a fraction of the heights you shall surely obtain. It may double your current strength, but beyond that I am unable to help you. Overcome your limits, Goku, and seek out the Super Saiyan form of your people. I sense that once you have, your potential in this form will no longer be so limited.
Goku considered this for a moment.
Well, If you can make me just a little stronger, I may be able to somehow get the edge on Vegeta with Kaioken.
Guru shook his head again.
Every race and every technique has limitations. This Kaioken is not only used by the Kais. The greatest warriors of Namek used something similar long ago. I recognized it in your struggle with Vegeta.
Oh, wow. These old Namekians, were they as strong as me? Goku wondered.
No, Goku, I do not believe they are. They too found their potential with Kaioken could only go so far, even with our race's regenerative abilities. Suffice to say that Kaioken cannot be relied upon as you suggest. The rules can be bent, but they cannot be broken,
Guru answered.
But why can't I use it to surpass Vegeta? Especially if you can make me twice as strong, Goku asked.
As you grow stronger, I have observed that such skills will become harder and harder to maintain. You may have already reached that limit. If you become twice as strong, the Kaioken will become that much less useful. I do not seek to discourage you, but I fear your Kaioken will never be a match for the Super Saiyan form of Vegeta.
Goku nodded. That sealed it. He would also have to become a Super Saiyan if he was going to face Vegeta and protect the Earth. Guru concentrated again, and a swirl of white energy engulfed the Saiyan. His hair stood up, and he felt power building inside him. The swirl then disappeared as quickly as it had come, and Guru relaxed. Goku felt stronger than he had ever been in his life.
This is amazing! I really do feel incredible!
He didn't think he was twice as strong as he had been before, but he was nearly three times as strong as when he had first fought Frieza.
Thank you, Elder Guru.
Indeed. And thank you, Goku. My people shall tell stories of the brave Earthlings who saved us from Frieza for generations.
Goku nodded and took off out the window. At last, it seemed like all the loose ends on Namek had been tied up, and he was particularly glad to no longer have to worry about anything besides training.
So, I have to become a Super Saiyan. Well, there's no time to waste, he said to himself as he flew in no particular direction. Come to think of it, I'm not really sure how to get off of this planet now that I don't have a ship. I need to think of something.
Ship approaching! Saiyan pod class! Reported the soldier. Scanners reveal it to be Vegeta.
Ah, good, said the scientist Malaka. Last I saw Vegeta, he was headed to Namek as well. Perhaps he can explain why we haven't been able to get in touch with anyone from Lord Frieza's command ship.
The green-skinned alien had a dinosaur-like snout rather than a mouth and nose and had a mohawk of dark orange hair atop his head.
Just be certain to show the proper respect, men. As you all well know, Vegeta has never been one for controlling his temper.
The gray pod landed on the cushion with a thud as the landing pad safely negated its velocity. Standing on the platform were two soldiers, each at attention, and between them the scientist Malaka. They hoped the prince was in a good mood today. The hatch of the pod lifted up, and Vegeta quickly stretched his right boot out onto the ground. Smiling, he stepped all of the way out and glared at the guards. He received little satisfaction from intimidating common soldiers, those whom he could crush with a single thought, but he did have his reputation to consider. Out of everyone in the Empire, only Frieza himself had been more feared than Vegeta. He preferred that things stay that way.
"Greetings, Prince Vegeta. We are most pleased with your arrival."
Malaka smiled, being much bolder than the others, and approached the prince.
"I hope you plan on obtaining a new set of armor. That one appears to be both damaged and outdated."
Malaka stopped suddenly. As he had walked closer, he had observed a round object held by Vegeta's left hand, but only now did he see what it really was. The Saiyan grinned at him. Noticing the shocked expression on the alien's face, Malaka had begun to tremble and had taken a step backwards.
"What's the matter, Doctor? Oh, this?"
Vegeta laughed and raised the severed head of Frieza, blood encrusted around where it had been ripped from the tyrant's body.
"Yes, funny story. You see, Frieza and I had a bit of a scuffle out on planet Namek, and our dear lord has met a most unfortunate end. If you ask me his one fatal mistake, it would have to be doubting the truth behind the Super Saiyan legends."
The two soldiers accompanying Malaka had noticed the head as well, each of them now trembling in fear of their life. The first finally composed himself enough to raise his arm, equipped with an energy blaster, and point it toward the Saiyan.
"Stop right there!" he demanded.
Vegeta recalled having a similar experience with the guards on Frieza's ship, They had all been too afraid to even attack him.
"Oh, please, spare me. I surrender," Vegeta mocked,
recalling the voice of Krillin in his head. He chuckled at himself. Seeing the bald earthling in his head made him want to kill something. Before the soldier was able to speak another word, his entire body disintegrated. Vegeta never even raised a finger, obliterating the fool with only the energy he exerted by blinking his eyes.
"And as for you, Doctor, don't think I won't do the same to you if you don't make yourself useful. I'm in charge from now on, understand?"
Vegeta's eyes, noble as they were, did not look upon servants as he spoke. He stared ahead as he gave orders.
"Yes, my lord, of course. What is it you wish of me?"
The alien used his most humble tone when speaking, bowing his head in submission.
"First, contact the other bases to arrange a video conference so that I can give them my glorious announcement. Then I want you to get to work building my new flagship. And don't make it another round piece of fruit like Frieza's old trash heap. Something that has a sense of both refinement and fear. I think I'm going to christen it the Bringer of Death."
Part 2. Diplomacy. Vegeta awoke with a start. He was panting, his sheet sticking to his chest and soaked through with sweat. Though it was the next morning, there was no sunrise on Frieza Planet 7-9. Only the small section of the planet with Frieza's headquarters even had breathable air. In the darkness, Vegeta got up from his bed and walked out onto the balcony. The stars shone brightly as he gazed up in silent contemplation. The dream had seemed so real.
"Kakarot, you continue to haunt me even when I've far surpassed you."
In the vision, Vegeta had seen himself die at the hands of Frieza without ever becoming a Super Saiyan. Worse, after his death, Goku had fought and eventually defeated the tyrant, ultimately becoming a Super Saiyan himself.
"Preposterous," Vegeta murmured. "There's no way a low class like Kakarot could ever become a Super Saiyan."
His subconscious had somehow presented him with a scenario in which he continued to be second best. The warning was clear, though he didn't appreciate the harshness in it.
"Even if Kakarot managed to become a Super Saiyan, surely he wouldn't rival me. My ascension should have cemented him as my inferior."
As he spoke, Vegeta felt doubt begin to enter his mind. That so-called Goku had somehow always managed to stay one step ahead of him until now. Despite the fact that Kakarot had never actually defeated him in battle, he had surpassed him in power on several occasions. In fact, he had proven to be a decent opponent without even needing the power of the Super Saiyan transformation.
"The last thing I need is to be surpassed again, especially by Kakarot."
Vegeta continued to gaze off his balcony, feeling renewed motivation to resume training. First, however, he had some business to take care of. Vegeta donned his new suit of clean white battle armor, adorned with a flowing red cape. He always took pride in how he presented himself. Being on the battlefield and having worn out or damaged armor was one thing, but he was compulsive about keeping his attire flawless when he was off duty.
"My Lord Vegeta,"
Malakka said, his face appearing on a small screen by the door.
"Report," the Saiyan demanded.
"Of course, my lord. We have several schematics for you to take a look at for your new vessel. Our engineers want to be certain it is built up to your specifications."
Vegeta stared down at the new scouter that had been left for him. It looked much the same as any other scouter, except that its lens was as bright and yellow as a Namekian sun. He reached down, picking it up.
"Fine, Doctor. I will visit the shipyard soon. In the meantime, make sure everything is still on schedule for the conference this evening."
"Yes, Lord,"
came the reply as the screen blinked off. Vegeta had never again intended to wear a scouter, but he did find convenience in them as communicators. They were also something of a status symbol. For low-ranking warriors, differently colored scouters only indicated whether the model was a new one or an old one. He never actually thought about it, but they were probably extremely expensive devices. Vegeta's new scouter was a special model designed for him alone. It had even been uniquely configured to display power levels in units of 1 million. A built-in damping circuit allowed it to handle up to 200 times this without overloading. Had it not been for this advantage, he might have abandoned the device entirely, considering it nothing but a remnant of his past and those years of service to Frieza.
"He is right, I suppose. I need to make sure the engineers don't mess up my gravity chamber somehow.
Vegeta swept out of his quarters and down the hall, leaving the guards outside paralyzed with fear at his mere presence. Vegeta followed Malaka into a luxurious meeting room where a cluster of alien scientists and engineers huddled around the display table. Four holographic models hovered above the surface. The lead scientist, a slender, grayish female alien with light green horns and long, spidery fingers, stepped forward.
"My lord, welcome. I am Chief Scientist Onia. We've worked through the night to prepare these models for your approval. On the display, you'll see a standard flagship yacht, two heavy corvettes, and a light frigate. Each of the models can be expanded for closer examination. We're prepared to outfit whichever ship you choose within 2 weeks."
The Saiyan's brow narrowed as he stepped toward them, scanning the displays. His eyes fell on the round yacht, nearly an exact copy of Frieza's signature ship.
"What fool included Frieza's old ship design?" he snarled.
One of the engineers, a chubby purple humanoid about 4 feet tall, waddled forward.
"Ah, but Vegeta, it's not the same as Frieza's ship. We've made modifications. The engines..."
His voice cut off in a choked squeak as Vegeta lifted a single finger, telekinetically hoisting him off the ground by his throat.
"Did I not leave specific instructions? I find the schematics of Frieza's ships distasteful, emblematic of a bygone era. This looks like an oversized muffin top. In fact, we will begin phasing them out immediately."
The rest of the scientists backed away, terrified by his fury.
"And how dare you address me by first name alone? I find your lack of respect disturbing."
Vegeta clenched his fist for an instant, and the chubby scientist fell to the ground, clutching his bruised throat.
"Do not try my patience, fool."
Smiling pleasantly, Vegeta turned back to the table. One of the quick-thinking scientists had already removed the offending yacht from the display. Vegeta looked closely at the three remaining models.
"These corvettes look hideous, and I don't need something as big as the frigate. I need a fast ship with strong shields and space for an essential crew. Nothing more. What else do you have?"
Onia swallowed.
"My apologies, that's all we had prepared, my lord," she replied.
"Well, what other design schematics are there?"
Vegeta demanded. One of the engineers pulled up a second display on the wall.
"I can show you the designs of several ships from outside the Planet Trade Organization, sir. It's possible we could use one of those."
"If you value your life, that would be advisable,"
Vegeta ordered, chuckling inwardly. He could always ease up later on, but being strict and intimidating was quite fun. The group quickly scrolled through a series of images showing vessels in various states of disrepair, from tiny shuttles to space stations.
"Wait, go back to the previous one," Vegeta demanded.
It was a small, golden ship with a sleek, thin fuselage. Two wings on either side gave it balance. It seemed that they could be folded back during high-speed flight. Large twin engines just in front of the main cabin and slender runners protruding forward from under the fuselage gave it a refined appearance. Onia quickly stepped forward.
"The Straw? That's actually not a space vessel, sire. I believe it's an airship from a small border world. Pay it no mind."
She reached out to continue scrolling forward, but Vegeta caught her.
"Nonsense, I like it. You will build me a ship using that design. I'm certain you can make it space-worthy if you're good at your job. Try it in black for the Saiyans, and with gold trim signifying my status as a Super Saiyan. I want the prow lengthened, the engines moved to the back, and those runners shortened. It needs to be large enough to dock a half dozen attack pods and hold a large training room with adjustable gravity, up to 100 times the gravity of Planet Vegeta. Are we clear?"
Vegeta smiled to himself.
"Kakarot trained in 10 times normal gravity on his way to Namek. I'm sure I can handle 10 times that," he thought.
The group of engineers nodded silently, careful not to make eye contact with Vegeta.
"Oh, one more thing," Vegeta added as he turned to leave. "Let's add a pool, heated, preferably with a view of the stars. And you'll only have 1 week to finish construction, due to some pressing matters I must attend to. Do not disappoint me."
With that, he was gone. Goku yawned and stretched, blinking his eyes in the glare of the Namekian suns. It was annoying that the Namekians never slept. He had spent nearly 3 days in Earth time, training near Dende's village and helping the Namekians repair the damage from the past few weeks.
Although the wish to Baranga had protected the planet during the fight between Goku and Vegeta, the destruction already caused to the planet's surface was extensive. Craters littered the landscape, and lava was flowing freely where stray energy blasts had broken through to the mantle. In several places, the lava was flowing into the lakes that dotted Namek, forming grotesque igneous rock formations. Goku's great strength had been invaluable in closing fissures and filling craters. Most of the Namekians had some form of telekinesis, but they had difficulty moving large portions of Earth at once. The Saiyan had done his best to correct the most significant damages to the planet's surface. In time, Namek would be returned to its full beauty. But for now, Goku knew he had to leave. He had 1 year to train, 1 year to challenge himself, 1 year to become a Super Saiyan. He had done everything he could to help his new friends on Namek, but it was time he turned his attention back to training. He remembered Vegeta's incredible strength and furious wrath. The Super Saiyan had brutally killed Frieza. If he, too, became a Super Saiyan, would he become as ruthless and violent as Vegeta had been? Regardless, he had to find a way to rise above his current limitations. If the Super Saiyan transformation was the only way, then he would have to risk whatever changes it might bring about. Frieza's ship was irreparably damaged. He had breached the hull with a blast when he left the healing chamber. Even if that could be repaired, the ship would never fly. Vegeta had destroyed the main power core when he stole the Dragon Balls from Frieza and Zarbon. "That's not going to work," Goku thought. He rose to a few thousand feet above the ground and flew slowly, scanning his surroundings for any sign of additional ships. Those Ginyus had arrived after Frieza and his men. Maybe one of their ships was still spaceworthy. Sure enough, he spotted a collection of 5 pods a few hundred yards away from where Frieza's ship lay shattered. Descending quickly, he landed in front of the first one. How to open it? Goku looked for a hatch or button on the outside, but he didn't see one.
Maybe I just open it, he thought.
Gripping the top of the hatch, he gave it a tug. Nothing happened. He tugged again. The metal ripped like foil in his hand.
Yikes! I probably shouldn't have forced it, he chuckled. Maybe it's not too bad.
Grimacing, he pulled the hatch the rest of the way open and looked inside.
I hope this still works. I wonder if I can fly it.
Climbing in, he pulled the hatch shut. It didn't quite close, so he carefully crimped the hatch shut at the top with his fingers.
There, that should hold it. Now to figure out how this thing flies.
Goku smiled as he looked at the control panel, bewildered.
All right, destination, Earth.
But the pod apparently had a mind of its own. As soon as he pressed the large green power button under the view screen, lights began flashing all around him and the pod's engine roared to life. The screen showed a small planet with 3 moons.
Programming initiated. Destination, Yard Route.
A computerized voice intoned. Vegeta walked through a narrow corridor spotted with circular windows. He was accustomed to space and typically wouldn't have paid a second thought to the view, but he was deep in thought. In a few moments, he would proclaim himself the new emperor of the Planet Trade Organization. The mental preparation required for dealing with political concerns hadn't been enjoyable. Already, Vegeta found himself weary of handling the authorization of planet takeovers and other daily minutiae. The prince quickly decided that as soon as he was proclaimed the new ruler, he would designate subordinates to handle such mind-numbing drudgeries. He could care less about the sale price of a planet or how many reinforcement squads would be sent to help with world takeovers. He was a warrior, thirsty for battle, and he was not content to sit back and watch his minions do the dirty work as Frieza had been. The Saiyan entered the large chamber, filled with holographic projections of each of the Empire's regions. The center of the room was a lowered circular platform, surrounded on all sides by the officials. Vegeta walked briskly to the center. He planned to deliver his news bluntly, expecting to invoke shock and fear in his audience.
I have called this assembly to inform you all of a certain change in leadership that has taken place. Lord Frieza is no more. How, you may ask? His death came at the hands of yours truly.
The prince held up his gruesome trophy, enjoying the stunned faces of silence he received.
All titles, property, and stakes he held will now be assumed by Vegeta, Prince of all Saiyans. And as a gesture of good faith, I stand here today to offer each of you the opportunity to swear complete and utter fealty to me. Of course, failing to do so may incur your disposal. I reign supreme now. You have no say in the matter. None whatsoever.
Vegeta sternly glanced through the faces of the crowd, never making eye contact but coming close enough to inspire fear. As he did, a single pair of hands began applauding slowly from the back of the auditorium. A voice calmly spoke out.
Well done, Vegeta. It seems I was right about you all along.
The holographic projection did not need to announce who he was.
I had begun to hear rumors, but I didn't believe them until now. No. My baby brother was a pest. One I would have eventually disposed of myself. Congratulations. I'm pleased to hear you've taken care of this problem.
Viceroy Cooler.
Vegeta smiled warmly as he addressed the projection.
It's so nice to have your support.
The two spoke directly to each other, ignoring every other face in the room. Both were clearly on edge, yet conversed calmly, their tones conveying more than their words. Vegeta was excited that the Frost Demon had been bold enough to make first contact. Cooler had always been more straightforward than Frieza. On his side, sitting comfortably in his ship a few dozen parsecs away, Cooler was also excited. He was eager to eliminate the lucky Saiyan, who had so clearly destroyed Frieza as a result of the Frost Lord's own carelessness. Both Vegeta and Cooler smiled, inwardly exulting in their schemes to destroy one another.
I'd be delighted if we could meet in person, Vegeta. We should really discuss the recent changes in the Empire.
Cooler took a holographic sip from his glass of wine, giving Vegeta a pause in which to respond. Vegeta thought to himself,
it couldn't be any more perfect. He obviously plans to do away with me at this meeting, but he has no idea what he is up against.
In his ship, Cooler also reflected,
poor, ignorant Vegeta, so overconfident as ever. I'm sure he thinks to get the drop on me at this little meeting. Fool. And he won't dare refuse my invitation. It would go against his Saiyan pride. Ha! A mere primate somehow kills my brother, and now that he's riding high, he thinks he can challenge me? I'll snatch this momentary victory from his cold, dead fingers. Yes.
Vegeta contained his cunning well, finally responding in a casual tone.
I would consider it a privilege, my dear Viceroy. We should meet soon. Perhaps as soon as my new ship is completed.
Both chuckled inwardly as they smiled at one another. As Cooler's form vanished in static, the meeting concluded. Individually, each regent called in to swear their total allegiance to Vegeta, though the challenge issued by Cooler was obvious to everyone. Most fully expected to be transferred over to his lordship soon. The Frost Demons were invincible, never having been overthrown by anyone. How Vegeta could have possibly defeated Frieza, no one knew. But they had not yet seen the power of the Super Saiyan. On a dark and icy world over 1,000 parsecs distant, a single figure sat brooding. His throne was cut out of the same glacier as the room he was in. At well over 3 meters tall, the figure was titanic. His light purple skin and hideous horns, barely visible in the darkness of the room, marked him as a Frost Demon. His spies among the former regents of Frieza had provided him with a live feed of the meeting. He had watched in silence until the transmission ended, not moving or even blinking. As the screen faded to black, returning the room to its former darkness, he stood.
It is unthinkable that Cooler will meet the same end as Frieza. Yet it seems that this miserable Saiyan defeated my son in his final form. Is there really such a thing as a Super Saiyan? I will have to learn more of this, King Cold thought.
For the text of this story, visit the fanfiction.net page of N.P. Barry Hill. Music arranged by N.P. Barry Hill, inspired by the works of Bruce Falconer. Special thanks to Sakiko. For more stories that I've read, visit samgabrielvo.com, where you can also find links to my Discord server and other ways to support me. And finally, as always, thank you for listening.